What's up, everybody? How you doing? You're tuned in to yet another episode of Living Life Intently. This is a Live Life Intense podcast. I'm your host, Lee Frazier, and I hope you guys are all staying safe, drinking lots of coffee, going a little bit easy on the booze these days, but, you know, just self-improvement projects, all that sort of stuff. And I noticed that a lot of people are baking bread right about now, and the stores are pretty low on flour for the first time, I think, in decades. But so that's great. Everybody's getting caught up on some home baking, staying home, playing video games, all that sort of shit. We've been trying to figure out how to restructure this podcast over the last couple of weeks. It's a bit of a jump doing it in person to doing it over Skype or FaceTime. But I think we're kind of dialing it in a little bit. I'm trying to line up a bunch of new podcasts with people from all over Canada. This week, we've got Marco Luopa from Kelowna, BC. He runs a brand called Canadian CDN. I'm assuming that's what it means. But yeah, it's a Canadian apparel brand. You can find online, We Are CDN. That's their website, and Instagram at We Are CDN. Great brand. We had a great conversation. He's also a graphic designer. So we chatted about, you know, what it's like in this downturn, how he's restructuring his business, all that sort of stuff. You know, just discussed a few topics and kind of winged it for about an hour. But hope you guys enjoy. I just wanted to tell you all about our discounts for the summer. We've teamed up with Cape Breton West Paddleboards and A Great Day Fishing to offer discount to all frontline workers, and really anybody that wants to pre-purchase bundles. If you guys are looking to get out this summer, head over to our website, livelifeintense.com. You can package all kinds of stuff that we offer on the website, from half-day fly fishing trips with A Great Day Fishing to paddleboard and kayak tours to tubing to glamping, camping, hiking, all that sort of stuff. We're getting ready to launch our multi-day tours, which will be highly discounted this year for our first season trying to do it. It'll be kind of the more people book, the more discount. So if you're interested in doing some multi-day hikes and backcountry stuff, have a look on our website in the next month or so. That's livelifeintense.com. Without further ado, this is episode number 13, I think. Anyways, give us a 5-star rating if you like this podcast on iTunes. It really helps out populating it in searches and stuff. But until next week, this is episode number 13. Marco Luopa. Cheers. When all this stuff was happening with the COVID-19 and stuff, so I was trying to line up all these interviews, and I had a bunch of people planned to come in to Margaree, which is where I'm at in Cape Breton Island, and I was going to head like to Sydney and back to Halifax and do all these different podcasts. So I just, you know, do a 2 or 3 in each location and interview them. And then shit got turned upside down. So then I was kind of like, as you would imagine, but I was trying to figure out how to structure them. Cause I, like I said, when we were talking earlier, I like being in front and like feeding off one another and having a nice conversation, which has its limitations because you have to be in the same spot, obviously. And we're doing this as like a free, just fun, like weekly podcast that gets released. So there's no way I'm paying to fly people in and that sort of stuff, like bigger names would do. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But in the chaos and in all this shit, this presented a pretty unique opportunity to kind of like, you know, get me outside what I feel comfortable with when recording and talking to people. Because when you're doing shit like this over FaceTime or whatever, whatever medium, there's always a little bit of a lag, and it's like, you know, trying, especially where I'm at in rural Cape Breton, there's shitty internet, and as we had issues before with being attached to another Wi-Fi in my shop, but and I was when this started kicking off, I started like realizing that I wasn't going to be able to interview people, so I and have a conversation. So I just put on Instagram, I was like, anybody submit suggestions of like who I should interview. I just want to interview cool people doing cool things. It doesn't matter in what capacity, just anything really. So I'm trying to remember who suggested you, but somebody did. And it took me like 2 weeks to start reaching out to people because I was kind of like restructuring, going, well, should I not? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just keep rocking and rolling. And then you were the first one I messaged. She actually sent me a list of, there was like probably,
I think it was Laura. I think it was my friend, yes. Laura. Yeah, she's a big, she's from out that way.
Yeah, that's who it was.
She's a crazy podcast listener and activist, I think I would call her, for podcasts. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we, do I introduce myself then? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, man.
I could start chatting and we're going to fucking ruin it right away.
No. Just give a little like blurb on who you are and where you're at right now.
So my name's Marku Luopa. I'm based in Kelowna, British Columbia. So we're a few time zones, different from where you are. And I own a Canadian, made apparel company called CDN. On Instagram, it's just at @WeAreCDN. And on the side, I also am a freelance graphic designer. So, not a whole lot of that going on right now. Obviously with everything, most of my clients are on pause, but, I've been in the design. I've been working for myself design wise for about, I think almost 10 years now. Have had a few pretty decent sized projects to let me get to the point of where I'm at. And then CDN started a few years ago. We're going into our first full year with our apparel. We launched our apparel last year in April. So we're coming up just on 1 year of that. So, kind of a mix of things. And, you know, through the years, just a lot of, you know, different odd jobs, but, I mean, thanks for having me. I was shocked that somebody thought I'd be a good interview. So I think that's pretty fun in itself.
Yeah. So you're running the first full year of the apparel. How did your apparel thing get started?
So it started from when I used to see some of my just like designs around town, like a business card or posters or whatever the stuff you do when you first start out. And I saw it like posted around coffee shops and stuff. Yeah. And I thought, man, it would be so cool if, you know, somebody was wearing a shirt with one of my designs. So I started a regional brand out here in the Okanagan called Okanagan Lifestyle. And I recently left that back in 2018. I had some differences with my business partner, and then CDN started in 2018. So, and just from that experience and, you know, having people resonate with an idea, and a brand and, you know, loving the clothing and this, fell in love with that. And, you know, with CDN now, like being able to support Canadian made clothing, and, you know, accessories and connecting with other, you know, cool Canadians like yourself and just chatting about like what it's like, what it means that to support Canadian, you know, especially in a time like this and, you know, to put out a product, you know, that I'm really proud of is always a really fun thing.
Yeah. And do you do all your creative for it, all your designs and stuff?
I do all my designs right now. Like we're CDN is in, like I was traveling for quite a bit for a long point. So the brand itself came from, you know, seeing a lot of really shitty clothing in airports with like, you know, Calgary, Canada, or like Edmonton, Canada. It has like three moose and like four beavers and like lettering all over. So like CDN in itself is like, you know, Canada's essentials brand. So it's just like very minimal branding, and design on it. But we are like actively working with, creatives around the country to come up with like fun illustrations and, you know, fun designs, you know, once the brand's a little bit more established to, you know, try that stuff out.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Do you find like that was a big, I mean, you had previous experience in like a brand. So like we, like full disclosure, how like Live Life Intense started back, like, so the current iteration is like the second version of it. The very first one was like a blog like 10 years ago. I think it was like 2009 when we started as a blog, but what we did was do screen printed t-shirts, and it was called Live Life Intense, like INTENSE rather than like, yeah, intense in a 10. And this was like a play on words for a shirt, and we were doing like spring long, they were very horribly designed, like fucking designs that I had. They're bad. They're so bad. I found like an old box of like, there's like 200 or 300 of my parents. And I just like looking at it going, maybe we should bring those back into the fold. But it was so bad. And like the colors were bad and everything was bad. And I donated them all, to what I forget what's at the, whatever's at the co-op, I think. But anyways, so I donated them all. But like, that's kind of how we started. Cause I was kind of always dipping my feet into that realm, but it was a very different world because I was no more so like offshore. And then now come full tilt, we're back into Live Life Intense, and then we start working on our own brand, and we were just ready to start like kind of we tested out stuff with Stanfields, which is a, I don't know if you're familiar with Stanfields.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so factory here. So we did, they were going to do a full custom run for us. So they actually do, they've opened part of their business up because they realized that that was a big market to get into was custom shirts. So like they have a lot of blanks that they do, which is like t-shirts, long sleeve shirts. What else do they have in there? I think that's primarily it. And then they have like their sweaters, their hoodies, which are actually the Roots hoodies, but just a blank.
Yeah.
Stanfield's logo on them. And then like, of course, what you guys have out in BC, which is their, the Island tuxedo, they call them the big wool.
Yeah.
Henley.
Yeah. The big wool one. Yeah.
So we did like a version of that this winter for like just a fun little thing. But yeah, we were working up with them and we tested them out last year and they did really well. And then of course, like all this shit hit. So we put it on hold, but yeah, that's kind of,
I think that they're like Stanfield's is one of the companies that, in my opinion, is doing some of the best work in Canada for, you know, staying like true to a really strong brand that they've created with like, you know, dipping their toes in a few different, you know, aspects of expanding. But I think like, you know, I would love, if I ever had the opportunity, I would just die to work with them. Like, I think that they do such an awesome job.
Yeah. I mean, they're as far as like price point, price wise, it's honestly like, and it's Nova
and quality, like I think it's fucking,
yeah, like
dynamite.
So as far as like custom stuff, you can get the like long sleeve shirts, which is the same material as the t-shirts, and then they have all the colorways in the t-shirt. That's all blank, and that's a whole custom run. So like a lot of other brands, like My Home Apparel, which is out of Truro, that's who I kind of originally went through, and she linked me up with the girls at Stanfield's, or the women at Stanfield's, and then and it's not that more expensive. You just have to commit to like volume with them. So
that's just the name of the game, right?
Yeah, but it is, man. It's a good point, and like it's also a big thing that aligns with our brand, which is kind of you know, we did screen printing on like all style stuff up until now. And then we wanted to really like a big thing. What we do is kind of help out other local businesses or use as much local as possible. So they're a Nova Scotian factory and everything is manufactured in, well, I think like 90%, 95% of their stuff is manufactured.
Almost all of it. Yeah.
It's crazy. And they do like special forces, but armed forces, base layers. They do like stuff for Roots, stuff for LL Bean, like all kinds of shit.
That's crazy. Hey.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you. Good for you guys for like transitioning out of that, because that's exactly what I was doing before. Like you know, it's always a mix of, you know, matching, you know, price point accessibility with quality.
Yeah.
And then like, and it's all like, what do you think your consumer is going to pay? But you know, at the end of the day, like it also matters to like, you know, what am I doing as a business, or what am I doing to contribute to, you know, all the shit that people talk about? Like, you know, it's really good to support local, and oh my God, you know, we have to do this, we have to do that. And you know, like like we were chatting before, I think like one of the big changes that we're going to see out of this, you know, COVID-19, you know, pandemic is I think that consumers really are going to hopefully understand like how short of a runway local businesses are running on, and yeah, you know, how important it is to actually support your neighbor and actually support those local restaurants or, you know, clothing companies. I know clothing's not super essential, but neither is eating out. But if we don't support the community, like it's literally all going to shut down. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, I was just actually talking to my mom today. There's businesses in Halifax, restaurants that were kind of just, they didn't just open, but they're kind of like new and they're just kind of like on the rise, really nice. Like there's one specifically she was talking about was in Bedford, and it's a Italian restaurant, and it's a family that owns, I think they've got a few spots in and around Halifax, the municipality there, but yeah, they won't be opening back up. But then there's other, yeah, sorry. But
fuck, no, like, isn't that crazy, right?
Yeah. So, but I mean, then there's other businesses that are like, you know, it very quick to react. There was my friend's business. She's got three fitness studios in Halifax, and they've kind of like within the first week, they kind of restructured everything and ended up going completely online. They were doing virtual classes. They were delivering,
wow,
like delivering kettlebells and like workout gear to,
wow,
people personally, so they could people that were members. They also gave away shit. What did she do? She was something like I think like 100 month passes to like frontline workers. I believe.
Oh, wow, nice.
For well, when everything kind of gets back up and running. There was also like a company, yeah. I think it's Evolve Fitness in downtown Halifax that did, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Evolve because I got corrected on that. I was playing, it's calling it Revolve, but it's Evolve, and they did like, went, same deal, went online, did all their entire classes online. And then they ended up doing a part of that was like every time when you register for a membership and you do all the online classes, I don't know if it was the whole thing or a percentage of it went to downtown businesses, like small business. I don't know how they were distributing it, but I think the first week they raised something like 50K.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
I haven't heard anything like that out here. Like that's taking it to a whole new level. Like that's commitment for the cause, really, and you know, the betterment of, you know, everybody in downtown Halifax is obviously going to benefit from that. But I mean, I can't wait to see what it's like when it opens back up for these people. I think it's, you know, hopefully, you know, we're I mean, I don't know what it's like out there, but hopefully we're coming out, you know, of it by, you know, the end of summer, hopefully, if we're lucky. And I think it's going to be pretty spectacular to see, you know, the support these local businesses are going to get.
Yeah, well, I think there was a lot of holes within the federal funding. I think I think right now I just got an email for like that CERB or whatever, the emergency 2K month. I think that's opened up to more people now. But then again, like we're in the tourism industry here. I don't know what it's. I heard grumblings that BC is turning. It's kind of they're going to open up soon ish. Is it getting better or not really?
I mean, one of my clients is Tourism Kelowna, and I can tell you that it's pretty bleak out here as of right now. Just because we get so much international traffic, and nobody can come in, right? And all of our parks are closed provincially and federally. I just read are all closed till the end of May. So it's like, you know, there's not a whole lot of places that people can really go. So I think, I mean, it's going to, because I mean, Kelowna and the Okanagan, like it's such a tourist, you know, location. Yeah. It's going to be like, it might be the first time that us locals are going to be able to enjoy a quiet summer out here since nobody from Alberta's coming out or anything. But I mean, it's going to be weird for, I mean, a fucking long time, I think, even when things get back to, and I'm air quoting this, normal. Like it's going to be fucking dicey, I think. And a lot of it's going to be online. And I think our sanitation standards are going to be insane. But I think whatever the new normal is, I think, you know, I think the consumer, you know, me, you, and, you know, whoever, every demographic, people are just going to really appreciate their local spots and, you know, how much they actually contribute to your community.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest thing at the very start of all this was I thought like my bets were on that local tourism was going to take a boost, like local meaning within like the province, so people from, you know, Halifax, instead of traveling wherever they were traveling, wouldn't be traveling internationally, and they were going to like focus and travel here. Another friend of mine had this theory that it's going to kind of reflect the time back in like the 60s and 70s where like families went on road trips locally to like different places.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Cause you're like that. That's what you do, right? Like you're in the tourism and you're booking the excursions and the, you know, the camping and all that. Right. So like what, like are you, you probably would have had to cancel quite a bit of stuff, but are you like, how have you been? Like, I don't even know how to even ask the question, but it's like, what does that even look like for you out there? Cause for me, like my CDN, we didn't have to change a lot. We were an online store to start with.
Yeah.
So it's like we shifted and like we offered a sale and, you know, we offered free shipping and delivery locally. But I mean, essentially I had just done a big photo shoot, so I was stocked up on pictures. So like for me, it was pretty much business as normal, other than like feeling like fuck, I couldn't charge full price because it just felt weird. Like it was a really weird time, still is. So like what was it like for you?
We haven't really taken, so it's different for everybody. Like the way that I approach things is a little bit different than most people approach things, and like the opportunity, like I've had opportunity to have like a pretty good career that enabled me to reinvest in myself and not take outside financing. So that kind of put me in a really good position going into this, whereas I didn't have like a lot of overhead type deal. Like, I can just, like, kind of live. So I wasn't really concerned. I was kind of concerned about how it was going to look. And traditionally, like, our stuff, like, June isn't really busy for me because we do a lot of stuff in, like, river stuff, which is popular in July and August. And, like, camping, glamping is, like, normally the high season. And the majority of our clientele is locals, like, as far as accommodations, as far as, like, tubing and stuff. It's, like, tubing is primarily Cape Breton Island. If you, it's like, it's crazy. That's like mostly
people. I've never been out there and I'm dying to get out there.
Dude, if you come out, it's all good. But like, I haven't had any, cancellations at all. Like, related to COVID. Shit. None. So, cause wow. Like early June was just a few bookings here and there. And there's, I've emailed people that were there. I said, hey, we can just hold on to them. And if it opens up, it opens up. If not, then I'll refund you. But like, a lot of my shit is like July and August, and then I'm like really pushing September. We had really planned this year to focus on doing like more fall stuff. Like, we really pushed the fall, and I was literally getting ready. We went through this whole program all winter and spent time last year and filmed all summer. We were working on a documentary that was supposed to come out, and then we kind of restructured. That's supposed to come out this spring. It still might. We might use it as a fundraiser, like that. That gym that I was talking about in Halifax, but we might use it for operators. I'm working on that right now. And then, but what I did out of all the footage, I just restructured it and built in all these ads for camping, for like tubing, paddleboarding. We started working with my friend's paddleboarding kayak company and restructured his whole website, implemented e-commerce stuff on it, kind of built that into our system too. So you can book, like, you go to our website or his website, it's the same system, and you can like pre-book or package with our accommodations. We also did the same thing with another fly fishing company, which we were working on anyways, but we ended up just like using it and working together. And now what we're doing is offering anybody that's a frontline worker within this gets like 25% off everything that we do from all three companies. And
nice.
So that's like fishing, guided fishing, fly fishing trips, full day, half days, kayak, paddleboard tours, our tubing, camping, glamping, all that sort of stuff. And it's either by like gift certificate or that you can gift somebody, right? So if you have like a niece or aunt or whatever, you can send them it and it's discounted. Or you can sign up for a mailing list and you get 25% off discount code. And realistically, anybody can do it. So anybody can sign up and get the discount. And I'm really, you know, because I own the property and I'm in a different bit of a position, so we can take more of a hit this year just to have revenue coming in. So I'm kind of like trying to figure out that restructures. And like in times like this, obviously you're going to have to take a cut. Like our full rates are not going to be full rates. They're just like automatically tax-free for the summer. And then I'm working on the fall stuff. So whereas everybody's staying home now, what I'm trying to do, we are going to launch a multi-day tour, like a 5-day tour that was more geared. I was gearing up to market it to like Germany, Northeastern United States, Quebec and Ontario and stuff. But, now, because who knows if that's going to work out. Of course the international is not going to work, but what I'm doing now is like offering it to, as a staycation package, which isn't live on my website yet. But it's like hiking, tubing, you're staying at all these different businesses or small businesses around the trail, eating at different spots if we can. But the more you book, the more you save. So you can, if you book a group of, I forget how I structured it. I think like if it's like six or more people, then you get 40% off the whole tour, I believe.
Because, oh, nice.
Yeah. So basically it's paying for staff. It's paying for like the vehicle payment. We get to pay ourselves to do it, but we're doing it at a severely discounted rate. We're not really making much of a margin on it, but it's for, you know, we're really just trying to pump it out to try to get more people to book in. So I have ability of doing 14 people in my van. So that's kind of like what I'm trying to do, is trying to kind of, I'm not really trying to push it now because I think it's in bad taste, but
yeah, totally. It's just like, you know, if you are, you know, someone that is looking for that, you know, this, you can get a great deal. And, you know, when you're supporting us, you're supporting XYZ local businesses. I think that's like, I think that's the motto there a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we've got, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, possibly 7 people And they're all locals too. So guys that they'll the young guys that just use the summer, so they're all going to school next year. So yeah, man, it'll help us like float the boat. And I had a couple of people that were going to be international employees, like people that were coming in that live abroad but come here to work in the summer times. And yeah, they were going to come in, but I don't know if they're going to be able to make it or not. So yeah, but what's cool about it though, I was talking to my friend yesterday who runs a farm. So we grew up together since we were little kids, but he runs like a vegetable farm. So he does like the community supported agriculture stuff. So you get weekly deliveries of vegetables.
Yeah.
So it starts in June, and I was talking to him yesterday about a couple other things, and he takes on woofers, which are like, are you familiar with a woofer is? It's like,
no, I'm not.
So if you have a farm or like, it's usually built around like farms. So it's something like, so if you have a farm and you're looking for a couple workers for the summer, you can post and register on this website, and people that are traveling will log on to it, and they have to work a minimum of like 4 hours a day, and you've got to provide them room and board. So he takes in people to work on his farm. So he was saying, and I've registered this year on Workaway website, which is similar, but it's for whatever, right? So if you were, for instance, you were looking for, you had like a room in your apartment, a room in a house, wherever you live, and you just had a spare room, but you need somebody to do like packaging, like shipping shit, right? Just a package close and ship out. Well, then you could like go on to Workaway and say, hey, I'm fucking around this sort of business. We need somebody just to package that every day to be shipped out. And they have to work a minimum. I think Workaway is like 20 hours a week is something around there. So they have to work a part-time job, but you have to supply them with room, board, and a place to sleep. So, room, board, and eat. Sorry. And so I've had people, and Peter, who's my friend, who's the farmer, have had people offer, because of this CERB, $2,000 a month. So everybody gets this base salary. They're offering to come down and work full time to help out small business in this time, because they've already paid. Like one couple has a van that they've modified into like a camper, so they don't even need to sleep in my house. So they just want to come down and help out small business. So like basically volunteer to work to help out businesses during this time, and if they need kind of like an upper leg or whatever. But yeah, it's pretty neat, man.
That's crazy. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's been, I didn't even, because I haven't really looked at the website. And then he was telling me this yesterday that he's had like hundreds of emails of people trying to come down and work. And we're like, offer a volunteer to work for free for the summer to help him harvest, to help him maintain the gardens and stuff. And
holy cow.
Yeah. I went on the Workaway and it was the same deal. People like, you know, we live in Halifax and we just want to come down and also get out of the city. I mean, a lot of people are stuck in condos,
tiny little apartments. Yeah, like I'm pretty lucky. I live out like out by the lake here, and it's like, so at least I get a, you know, walk around and get to go down to our little private beach and stuff. So it's like, it's pretty nice like where we're at. I'm lucky that way. Like I couldn't imagine being in like downtown Toronto stuck in a like a little condo or something, not being able to leave the house would just be a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, that's my sister. Well, my sister's in a house in Toronto, but I have a buddy that's in a condo in Toronto. And then I have friends that are in this brand new, they both moved in together for the summer, and they're in this condo in downtown Halifax. And it's like, it's a small place.
Let's just say it's a small place.
Yeah. So it's a bit interesting, but I mean, and then I was looking at the news. When was it? Yesterday? I think yesterday a friend of mine was saying that just in Cape Breton Island alone, there was 60 or 70 people that got fined, for like breaking the social distancing rules, just like on Cape Breton Island.
Wow.
So. Yeah, Nova Scotia was like bottom of the barrel for stats with Google for Google released the stats for people moving around and going hiking and visiting parks and all that sort of shit. Nova Scotia was like bottom.
But we're like, we didn't do a good job, guys. No.
So what's it like out there now? Is it it must be getting nice and warm, eh?
Yeah, it's like 20-ish degrees this week, like give or take, 18, 23. And it's like, I could go on forever about how nice it is in the Okanagan, but I don't feel that's in good taste for people out east. Sometimes they get, or Alberta or wherever people are listening from, but it's nice. And, but I mean, like I said, most of our stuff's closed, like no hikes really, our beaches. is are monitored, and you know, you can't be too close to everybody. There's a few too many people running on some of the trails and whatnot, but yeah. For the most part, it's nice out here, and it's like, this is normally Easter weekend is normally like the kickoff for tourism, when everybody would start coming in, and then you get, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day, and then, you know, long weekend after long weekend, it's normally packed out here.
Yeah. Are you big in outdoor stuff?
Yeah, typically in the summer. I hate winter. Like, I fucking hate winter, like, a lot. Like, I don't snow or ski or snowboard or ski, and like, I don't like being cold. I hate it so much. I'm a big, like, so this is like my time to shine, and but it's like we can't even fucking do anything anymore. So it'll be a little different, but it's still nice just to be outside, and even if it's just sitting on the laneway here and having a beer, like, I'll take that. If that's what summer's gonna be like, then, you know, it's just gonna be a parking lot party.
Yeah, I was looking at like Mix Mag, so like DJ magazine, electronic music magazine, was posted a video yesterday with what was it? It was like somebody in a balcony, and they're playing like 140, 150 BPM trance music, like psytrance, they had people staged on balconies, dancing like old school, like ravers from back in the day.
Oh my god!
One guy with like tight pants and like streamers on his elbows and like all kinds of shit, and it was hilarious. But yeah, that's kind of
my god, that's fucking funny.
That's what I like to picture the cities like. That video. That's what I picture everybody in the weekend in the city.
Yeah, totally. And like, I saw a video, I think it was on Instagram, or maybe it was my girlfriend showed it to me. It was in Brooklyn, New York. Everyone's blaring, you know, Biggie Smalls, and they're singing from their balconies out there, and you know, they're all just rapping. I'm like, maybe that's what it's like being in a condo. You get like 3 or 4 minutes of really good times a day, and then the rest you're just stuck inside this little cube.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, man. It was crazy going into this. It was very interesting. I've been kind of like avoiding social media. I've been like not as on Instagram as I normally am, and like other, basically Instagram's the only thing that I actually ever use, any other apps on my phone. But I haven't been on it, but I was just getting really annoyed with I'm just getting tired of like the isolation memes and isolation posts and all that bullshit. So, but then again, I mean, I'm looking outside and I've got like 50 acres and I don't have any, like, there's no, I don't see a neighbor. I've got like the Cabot Trails right there. And then I have like a whole backfield and property that I don't even see.
Oh man.
It's a little bit different, but I am used to being stuck in small places, with my like other job that, so I've been kind of like weaning off of, which is like diving, but which out in Kelowna. Oh, wow. Yeah, we're out in Kelowna. Kelowna is like the highest concentration of like divers in Canada, technically.
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that live in Kelowna.
Wow, I knew, I have had a few of my friends do their diving and stuff out here, but I didn't know it was like that big of a, like that big of a thing.
Yeah, there's a school there in Kelowna, a new one that opened up. I must be like at least 5 years. Because a couple of the guys were, when they were like slow working offshore, they were all there working, like working here and there. Because it's more, the one school that's in Kelowna is more set up for like the offshore industry, because the way they have the training set up. So that's why a lot of the guys all work there. And the guys I would know from Kelowna that generally will work out east or work over in the UK or Norway and stuff with me, with this company I work for, Technip. But yeah, so there's a whole crew of them there. Victoria are two big hubs, and I got a buddy down in Soyuz. Yeah. He's got a big farm down there. Yeah.
Oh fuck, nice. That's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, well, I've never been. He's been trying to get me to go out. He flew out to Halifax one time. He was doing, because he had to do your like offshore survival in Dartmouth, and he put an ad on Kijiji in BC, and he said, hey, I'm flying to Halifax, I'm going for a week, but I'm going to come back and buy lobster, like live lobster, because you buy it at the airport here, right, and ship it and
here. Oh, what?
Yeah, you can buy it at the airport and then take it with you back to BC. So he made enough money to pay for his flight and his offshore ticket. Yeah, he made like,
come on,
I'm not lying. He went and bought something like $2,000 worth of lobster, and he was sitting, because we went out for drinks, and he was showing me the receipt, and the receipt was just like a mile long.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. And he flew back, and he would stop at different areas on the way to then deliver the lobster to people, and they'd pay cash for it. And then he ended up paying for his flight and his ticket.
And a flight out to Halifax from here would have been like $2,500 probably. It's so expensive to fly out east.
It was interesting, man. It was crazy because we were, I think I was living in Halifax then or Bedford, and we went out for drinks one night, and he was just laughing about it because he was like showing me all the messages and the emails and the mania. And he's like, dude, I'm gonna take me like three times longer to get home from flying home. But yeah. But yeah, man, Kelowna's big concentration of like commercial divers and sat divers and stuff like that too. So yeah, it's been interesting. Halifax has got a big population too, but nothing compared to Kelowna. Like everybody lives there.
Like how big is Halifax, like just population wise?
Halifax is like, I am gonna go to say like 350,000, something like that.
Okay, so it's like twice the size of Kelowna then.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Kelowna's only like 100 and 100 and a half, I think.
Ah, shit. Okay, cool.
But then we also have like because we have Kelowna, and then like West Kelowna is probably like another, you know, 50 or 60, and then then there's like Vernon and Penticton are like 45 minutes away each way. So it's like, you know, there's another 20 or 30 or 40, and like another 30 or 40 down there. So I guess like if you put it like the Okanagan together would be like the size of Halifax, I guess.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. When I say Halifax, that's what I'm saying. It's like Halifax, Bedford.
Like, you know, greater Halifax. Yeah.
Like the HRM. But yeah, man, it's interesting. So that, and all those guys, I don't know what they're doing. I know the offshore industry. So where everything else in the world has stopped for the most part, the offshore is like fucking full tilt ahead, man. It's like
just booming, probably.
No one gives a shit. They're just like, there's a boat.
Fuck.
Yeah, there's a boat that I did work on. So there's a company that I have has, I believe, three diving vessels right now. Yeah, three. The Explorer, the Arctic, and the Discoverer. And the Arctic, I believe, was just released from quarantine in Aberdeen, and like a bunch of the crew had like tested positive for it, and they're all in like hotels in Aberdeen right now, because I'm on like a bunch of group chats with all the guys on different boats and stuff, and yeah. They're all talking about it. And then I think there was an article that just got released, because the company is traditionally used to keeping things close to their chest, not releasing this information out. So
right.
So, but yeah, that's the state of it. And then I get a call. I get a call 2 weeks ago to travel to Newfoundland next week, I think, somewhere's around there. But I don't think I'll be going. But yeah. So you're traveling internationally, and they let the guys travel. I didn't think they did, but they are letting people travel internationally to go to work. So they're allowing people in to go work if you're in the oil and gas industry. So
wow, that's like, I mean, yeah, it's all what's based on essential and non-essential, right? Those are some buzzwords for 2020.
Essential, non-essential.
It's just like essential, non-essential, flatten the curve. You know, these are all of our 2020 buzzwords.
So what's the plan for you moving forward with this, with your brand, your company? And
we had actually just a killer, we'd been working for about 4 or 5 months on a collaboration with Jillian Harris, who you know, pretty big name out here on the West Coast. She was on The Bachelor and HGTV, Love It or List It Vancouver. And it just launched yesterday that we're going to be part of her subscription box service as an add-on product for the summer 2020. So this week for me, like as a brand, has just been completely insane when they were posting about it. I think she has 1 million followers on Instagram. It's just totally bananas to see her following, you know, when she posts something and how they interact and, you know, the questions they have and, you know, how loyal it is. So like that's been really fun to launch. And, I mean, I had a whole ton of fun stuff planned for the year, with new retailers and whatnot. It's going to be a little bit different now because they're not opening. You know, we have to scale back some of our product launches, but, fun things for us this year. We have a Canada Day limited edition hat we're going to launch probably mid June still, even if it's only online. We'd love to get it to all of our retailers if we can, which are only on the West Coast right now. So if anybody's listening and wants to carry some Made in Canada product at their store, so just reach out. I'm happy to ship it cross country. And then we have wintertime. We're going to launch our toques. We found a great manufacturer in Montreal. So we got some samples done, and we're working on that. And just a few other new products throughout the year. But I mean, we had, you know, we were stocked up with a ton of NHL guys for the playoffs, but, you know, unfortunately that didn't happen. So a lot of things that we worked really hard to over the winter, kind of got sidetracked, but you know, if it ends and, you know, Memorial Cup, Kelowna was supposed to be hosting the Memorial Cup this year. So that definitely put a damper in some plans that I had to do some fun shit out here with a bunch of guys. But, I mean, onward and upward, things you can't control, I guess you can't really get too upset about. So just try and game plan once we maybe know an opening date. You know, we're working with a few beer companies to try and launch a collaborative beer project. But again, everybody halted that. So it'll pretty much be a fresh slate once this is over to start back on what people can commit to and, you know, what they have the resources to.
Yeah, it's wild, man. The whole creative industry just kind of like overnight, just boom. And when I say, not so much the creative, but like the like marketing creative sort of slash industry.
Yeah, is like, that's like one of the first things to get cut. Like when people don't have revenue, it's like marketing gone instantly.
Yeah. It's been wild, man. It's
and
been,
like, you can't blame people for, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's been a lot, and that's why I like a lot of my friends, because over the last couple of years, we've really like been involved with that industry here in the East Coast, and yeah, the ad spends and everything just like gone, and guys laid off, and everybody's been at home playing video games for the last like what, 3 weeks to a month.
oh my God! Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, yeah, like we can't do anything like really out here. It's like you just try and find a local beer to buy when you go to the liquor store or like go to your local grocery store like once or twice a week. And like, that's pretty much it. If you have a little bit extra money, try and support some other small businesses. But, you know, I've had a lot of people luckily, really are keen on supporting Made in Canada, you know, products, and, you know, they love the apparel is super soft. And so we've got a little bit of traction on our online site in the last, few weeks since all this has been going on. But, you know, you can't ever, you know, you talk about essential and non-essential. It's like, you can't be upset that people aren't spending money on your stuff. It's like, you can't force people to buy a new hoodie or like a t-shirt, right? Or a hat. So it's like, it's always a tough balance to be understanding and, you know, motivated to try and get sales, but, you know, understanding people don't have the money to buy stuff right now. So it's challenging, but, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel for sure.
Yeah. What's the biggest, like, as far as like growing a brand and then two, an apparel brand, like what is the biggest thing that you guys, that you personally, that would like focus on as far as like growing the business? Like, is it like your brand equity, like building into that, building into like, partnerships with other companies, which also I guess goes hand in hand with building brand equity too. But like, what is the biggest thing that you focus on when trying to build your brand equity and like building the like an emotional attachment or like a client's attachment to your brand? Like
I think like over like the few projects that I've had the ability to work on, you know, quality of product and design would be like number one for me, being the person that designs it.
Yeah.
I think that and sticking to like what you're committing to doing as a brand, and then being like offering a really great service to the people that you're dealing with. So, you know, each one of our orders comes with a hand signed card, like a thank you note, and just going above and beyond for people, you know, especially with, you know, if they have to return something, you know, try and help people out when you're starting out. And then, yeah. And then finding cool people to, you know, align yourself with on collaborations and partnerships, you know, goes a long way. Cause then you're hitting two networks at once, and you're going to talk to different people that you normally wouldn't chat with. And then it's just continuing to innovate. Don't get stagnant. A lot of our designs will be the same, but, for the first little bit as we build our foundation, and then, you know, just take chances on new products and new designs or a new decorating method. And then just try and get, for me being a Canada brand, it's just trying to get new places. And, you know, like we just signed on with a retailer in Kamloops, and we did a custom Kamloops Blazers themed hat for them. They launch it tomorrow morning, and it's like just being willing to adapt and, you know, create for somebody, I think builds a lot of loyalty with their brand and the relationship that you have with them as well. So, yeah. I mean, I could go on for hours about the things to the, what I think would build a brand, but like those are like, you know, quality of product. And then like, you know, being off, like, I hate the word authentic, but like being real with your people. Like, you know, when I post on Instagram, you know, and what we post, it's like, it's truly like to the core, our mission of what we're trying to do. And then just like, you know, be real with people and try and connect with real people and avoid, you know, paying people to wear shit. Like, I hate that stuff. So,
yeah, that was kind of, and it's all that, yeah. That's also an argument for like the creative industry too, getting people like exchanging fucking, and it was,
oh my God, I
dealt with it with the like DJ scene. And back in the day, like I started out DJing when I was like a kid, when I was like 12, and then was in clubs and touring and offshore, and then I transitioned into doing this shit. So I, like, this stuff that I'm doing now is stuff I did since I was like 5 years old, like shit that I always grew up doing that I kind of forgot about. But like, but yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing was like the, when we were DJing was the exposure.
You can do it for exposure.
Yeah, that was the word, exposure. God damn, I hate that shit.
Fuck that. I get like PTSD every time I hear. And it's like, you know, being like a freelance designer, they're like, well, this would be great for your portfolio. It's like, what do you mean my portfolio? Like, I have like, if you walk around Kelowna, there's like 25 logos that I've done on buildings. It's like, I don't feel like I need the exposure, you know, like, you know, I can't pay rent with exposure. Like, I can't do anything with exposure. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
But like, fuck you, pay me.
Yeah, that was the exact same response I had from so many people. But the problem was, I mean, there was people that were willing to do it. So people were willing to take that bottom end stuff that is just to do it, just to get it done for free. Where like when we were doing, so I transitioned from DJing into events. And then when we got into doing events, my business partner is a really well-known event manager in Halifax. And he works for the city doing all their main concerts and events and stuff. But so he brought together a whole different experience than my experience as DJ and an artist. And then and somebody attending the events, he was more behind the scenes. But when we got mingled together, we both had the same clear vision that, you know, we're going to pay, you know, it's the same deal. It's like, it would be somebody, a promoter coming to you and saying, hey, can you do this poster for us for, you know, this for free or for like a bunch of backstage passes and shit. So we always paid, and we paid when people heard what we paid for the posters and the flyers that we paid for, they would just be like flabbergasted about it. They'd be like, what the fuck did you pay that much? You could have got this guy to do it. But I'm like, look at the poster, man. This guy.
You're like, exactly. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. I'm like, that we get a movie poster. So who did we found a guy, Seams, Matt McKay. And Matt was involved with Famous Folks, which was a branding and like design studio in Halifax. But he now has his own company called.
Oh, nice. I'm going to look this guy up right now.
One sec. It's called, his name is Seams the Dad, I think, on Instagram now. So it's S-E-A-M-Z. So do you know what Classified is? Hip hop artist?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He designs basically all of his artwork and all of the hip hop artists.
Matt Smith,
yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, I'm following him.
So
right
he's
now.
Got his own company, his own shop with another guy. I forget what the other guy's name is. But anyways, they do amazing, amazing work. He was the guy that we did all of our posters with. And we'd pay him like, I don't know, somewhere between $500 to $1,000 per event. And because we would want a certain look. Because in my mind, I'm like, I want to put the amount of energy. I want that poster to reflect what we want to do with this event and how that event is going to look. So when I would look at a poster, an event poster, for instance, and it was done shitty and fucking some guy that didn't know what they were doing in Photoshop, I would look at it and automatically go, this is going to be a shitty show.
It's going to be a shit show.
Because of the attention to detail within just their marketing was cheap and shit. So I'm like, they're going to cheap out. And then when we would do events, we would go above and beyond to put more money and emphasis in. We want this to look perfect. We want the event. And we went quality over quantity. So we would lose more money and take less of a take and less of a profit margin just to make sure that the event was like fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was lights out, right?
Yeah, so that was like our approach for everything, and that's kind of like the approach to doing everything here, like rather than...
That's so good, so good, and so rare now.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people are just trying to get as much done as humanly possible for cheap, and then, but you also, it's kind of like when you look at I use that analogy too, as like houses around here. So people want these nice big houses, but when you go in the house, it's, and this is nothing against IKEA, nothing against people that buy IKEA kitchens.
Yeah, but
I understand that you know, people do have limitations to spend. They want something that looks really nice, yada, yada, yada. But I was always raised with the, like my dad always just said, especially with tools, with everything, was like, pay the money up front to get quality stuff and you won't have to replace it, won't have any problems with it. So like when it comes to houses, a lot of people just very generic, very simple IKEA kitchens, which fall apart. Yes, they have a lifetime warranty, but you know, if the economy collapses, they're gone.
Yeah, fuck.
And people thought that was going to happen, but look where we're in. Fuck.
I mean, exactly, right?
So, but that's kind of like that is the mentality that I take forward with pretty much all the shit that I do, which then translates into our brand. And like when it comes to like growing it and using social media, like you said, staying authentic, for lack of a better term. Well,
yeah.
That's why, like, if you, our Instagram, half the times, like the posts that we do are not curated, but they're shots that like myself or friends of mine took. They're of our area. They're not recycled for somebody else. But when it comes to like the stories and all that sort of shit, that's just me. This is me just goofing off and fucking around half
the
time.
Fuck, that's wild, because I was going through your Instagram and I was like, fuck, this is fun. I didn't know it was all just you though. Obviously, I'd never met you and I'd never chatted, and I'm like, fuck, this is wild.
I will not say that. I'd say the majority of a lot of the stuff recently are just stuff that we had, some fire shots that we had from like the last year, which are like a lot of the people, when you notice the people that I share, the people that took the photo are usually like Bernie and Carter and guys that are like really close to me, that that some of those guys were normally down here working on this film with me. So we were like shooting caption content, doing photos, doing all kinds of shit. So yeah, it was a blast, man. So, but yeah.
That's wild. I just love that you paid a guy so much. I love that approach to branding on the DJ front. Like, I just can't get over that. Like, that's something that, you know, most of the time when I speak at events or on podcasts, like, that's what I'm trying to, just drive home with people, especially for creatives. 'Cause that's normally the position that I take when people ask me to speak, 'cause I'll be the freelance, you know, creative guy on the panel of, you know, other business owners and, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, you know, I even connect with other freelance designers in the Okanagan. And like, I tell them, like, this is my base rate for a logo. So instead of charging $300 for a logo, because that totally fucks a lot of us that are trying to, you know, make a living at this.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not charge $1,500? And you're still undercutting me. So like, you can make more money. It elevates our, you know, our value as creatives.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then it forces other businesses and clients and whoever, like even like other creatives that are paying other creatives for work, just to value it more, because they want, in turn, people will value their work more.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
And I'm, that's like the foundation of how I forever want to operate, you know, all my businesses and as a person as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck trying to tell that to, like, back in the day, it was like, good luck to trying to tell that to all the other guys that just wanted to, they're happy with the exposure.
Yeah. Fuck those exposure guys. They should put them out on one of those islands out there and don't let them back.
Oh man. But that's the issue. There's no like baseline. Oh, what just happened? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. We're all just trying our best, right?
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we've been doing this for what, an hour and a bit?
I think. Shit, yeah. Wow. Think something look at like us. That.
Yeah, it's been a very weird transition using this platform, like going online or whatever. But it's also like I was getting comfortable doing what I was doing. So it's also another idea that I've always had, which was like just do constantly kind of push yourself to do some shit that you're not comfortable with, like always kind of do stuff that that scares you a bit, that isn't like in your comfort zone and stuff, because a lot of people do get placent, and like when you get comfortable, it when you get comfortable, it like, yeah, it makes you complacent. There's a saying that
I don't know what it is either, but I know where you're going.
Comfortable, Yeah, comfort creates complacency or some shit like that.
Yeah.
There's something along those lines.
I've seen it on a piece of wood painted on a wall somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like everybody with a live, laugh, love. Fuck, what was it? Yeah, what totally. Was the meme? I saw a meme the other day, which I'm trying to remember what it was.
It's like, I'm going to live, laugh, and love so fucking hard when this is all over.
Yeah, yeah. But that's kind of like the biggest thing. So now I'm kind of like lining this up. And it's also awesome because I get to like have conversations with random people, and all these people that I've known through the years that are doing crazy things in LA and doing all over the place, now I get to reach out to them and have a conversation with them while they're everybody's bored as hell anyways.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I definitely appreciate you having me out on the show. I feel like I was in Halifax.
Well, I'm not in Halifax. I'm in Cape Breton.
But in Cape Breton.
Yeah, man. But if you ever want to, if you're ever coming out this way, let me know. We'll link it up. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen 100%. With the trail. We'll get some like crab and lobster right off the boat and then do a little cookout.
Oh, my God. I would love that.
Stuff like that, too. But hopefully everything will be back to normal. But yeah. Well, why don't you tell everybody how to find you and get a hold of you, and then and we'll go from there.
Sure. So on Instagram, the account is @wearecdn. And then online, it's the same thing, www.wearecdn.ca.
Cool. Excellent. I'll link that in the description in the podcast too. So so this will probably come out tomorrow. This is Wednesday. I'm just going to get it done and rep it out because I didn't put one out this week. And then I'm trying to schedule the rest of them for the next 2 weeks. But cool, man. Well, awesome. Thanks for jumping on. And let's touch base again sometime soon. Stay in touch.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, man. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, talk to you later.
You bet. Bye.
So hope you enjoyed the conversation with Marco Luopa. I think I kept calling him Marco, but it's actually Marco Luopa, who runs CDN. You can find his brand online at WeAreCDN. That's on Instagram. And his website is WeAreCDN.com. It might be .ca. I'm not 100% certain, but you pop that into Google, it'll take you right to his website. We're brought to you by Fire and Stone Coffee. So if you like great weekly roasted coffee, search Fire and Stone Coffee Cape Breton into Google and order some of their great, great coffee. I'm drinking the medium roast today and it's fucking awesome. But until next week, we'll get back to you with another great interview. And if you like this, again, please slap a nice 5-star rating on there on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. But that's it for us this week. See you next week.